Thank you, Mr. Guyver. Okay, so I'll just comment on the first part of that. You mentioned about the Garden Cities bid, and there will be a report going to the next public meeting of the Cabinet, which I think is next week.
Next Friday, it is,
which will be taken as an urgent item due to the, because that report hasn't been written yet, and I think the deadline for publishing the agenda is today or tomorrow. So that's why that's going to be an urgent item. You've just been given a slight heads up there. There is a 20-page document, which is the bid itself, which members may be interested in reading if you don't know anything about the Garden Cities prospectus and what makes a garden city, which is a question I asked. And the report itself on the bidding process. But essentially, this is simply a decision to put a bid forward to try and get some money out of the government to go forward with this. It's not actually a commitment to say that we're going to be building thousands of houses. But it's, if you like, a decision to go forward with a bid to government for funding. But that will go through the process, so keep your eyes open for that one, and I will probably make I'll probably send an email out tomorrow to all members just to clarify that, just for transparency purposes, because I don't like taking urgent items to count the Cabinet. If I can avoid it, on this one I don't think I can avoid it, so and it's the best thing to do, it goes to Cabinet rather than just be a Cabinet member decision. Anyone want to comment on anything that Mr. Guyver said? And I have been along to, I was at the Lawford consultation exercise, and I have to say I picked up the same vibe as you, that members of the public, even though they may be strongly opposed to individual proposals, shall we say, they were very courteous and polite to the officers there, and very constructive, quite frankly, I thought, in their comments. So all credit to our residents, really. Anyone? Councillor Bray, was that an indication?
Yes, it was, Mr. Chairman. Just to say, I did spend most of the day at the Wheelie consultation at the office. A great number of people came through. Obviously, we'd like everybody to come in, but I guess given the size of the building, it's as well they didn't. It was interesting to hear the various comments. They were many and varied. There clearly is a dislike among the local people of the large numbers concerned, and I fully understand and support that. However, I think people were very receptive and understood that we're going to have to build some houses. I think they get that. Clearly, there were a lot of different opinions about where and how.
That's a fair analysis, I would suggest, Councillor Bray. It's quite interesting. I've been having various meetings with my counterparts on Colchester and Braintree councils, and they have a completely different sort of approach and attitude. Colchester is the fastest growing town in the UK in terms of housing. Looking at some of the housing, the quality of it that's gone up, I don't think that's a good thing in any way, and I think the lack of new infrastructure, it hasn't kept pace with the housing, and I think it has caused problems in Colchester personally. Braintree is very pro-housing, they're pro-growth, they want to build. But what we're doing with this Garden Cities bid is quite unique, actually. Three districts coming together to work on sort of local plan proposals like this is probably unique, certainly extremely rare. And the fact that there is clearly not massive favour in this district for housing, it would be fair to say. We've had lots of speakers today, none of whom have been in favour of loads of housing. I get lots and lots of emails on the subject. I get lots of emails from people saying, please get a local plan in place, but they want a local plan in place to prevent and restrict some of the unwanted housing applications that they fear may be coming through the pipeline or that may be already in the pipeline. So there's a strong resistance in this district, and I think for quite good logistical reasons, against the large housing allocations. But in Colchester and in Braintree, they're quite up for it, and they're quite supportive of it. So actually working together, funnily enough, can actually work to all our mutual advantages. So it's something I'm quite keen to pursue. Anyone else on this item? Councillor Broderick.
It's just that I know we've got to work with our neighbours, but I'm assuming somebody's pointed out that the only neighbours we would have is if we built another Atlantis under the sea. So I also like to say the officers at the consultations, they've got the patience of a saint. They all did really well. I'm really proud of them. Just want to say that.
No, thank you for that, Councillor Broderick. That's nice. I think they have done they're a credit to the council. I totally agree with you. I take it when you're talking about our neighbours being Atlantis, you're talking about on the coastal side of things. But we obviously do have a land boundary with the Borough of Colchester. We even have a land boundary, a tiny little one, with Bayburg District in Suffolk. And that's causing issues, if you like, in itself. But no, we do have boundaries, and whether we like it or not, you know, housing and development in other districts does have an impact on us, and likewise we have an impact on them, so we do need to consider that. Anyone else? No. Councillor Talbot.
Just a comment. I did go to the meeting at Wheely on the Monday before the Tuesday council meeting last week. And I must say, we seem to have had quite a number of these over the years. I've been to quite a few of these consultations. But I really felt the layout and design of this was the best one I'd been, because it actually encouraged members of the public to make their comments known on the post-it notes. Mm. And for other members of the public who may agree with that, to go back and say, well, we write a note as well, we'll support that. I don't like what's being proposed here or there. And equally, of course, people who put slightly new ideas forward supporting the proposal and others supporting that. There was real public participation at that meeting, whereas if you go by previous events we've had, the usual practice has been a cardboard box with a slot in and pieces of paper, perhaps in some cases headed tendering, for people to write their comments on, fold them up and put them in the box. Once they put them in the box, nobody else sees them. I'm willing to bet, Mr. Chairman, that our wish as a council to have the widest possible consultation on this will be achieved by the meetings that are being held around the district by Gary and his team. I've nothing but compliment for the idea of the post-it notes, because it brought people in there who would never in their wildest dreams think they'd write a proper note to tendering council and put it in a box. But when they see what others have put, they're encouraged to make their own comments, even on one or two which just said words like, don't like this at all, or I think this is a disaster or something like that. They wouldn't bother to write that on a sheet and post it, but on a post-it note, they'll stick it on the right side, yes or no. So first of all, a compliment to the way it was designed. I'm willing to bet that at the end, we won't be far short of 1,000 responses. I'm only just counting up what we might have. I'm not asking Gary to tell us now. I hope I'm not too far wrong. That's a guess. But that compares with our usual 200, 250 responses to public consultation. So it really will have achieved what Tendering District Council has wanted, wide consultation and plenty of opinions. God knows how they're going to be tabulated. That's a job I don't want, but at least they're there. So thank you, Gary and the team.
And I think it did help, sending that little note out, the postcard out, with the electoral registration forms. And to be fair, that was Councillor Broderick's suggestion, that we'd write to every resident. We had an opportunity to get something out that cost us effectively next to nothing. And we took the opportunity, so that has raised awareness of it with people. I think that's a good thing. So clearly people have strong views on the local brand. Well, I think that's good. You know, let us know those views. Councillor Curley.
No, Councillor Curley.
Yeah, because that was said.
Yes, Chairman, just picking up on one point that you briefly made earlier, that one of our borders, of course, is with Suffolk.
Yeah.
And we must keep the lines of communication open there, because to my knowledge they are planning or suggesting many hundreds of houses just over our border. And when I say just over our border, within about a mile or so of it. I don't see that there's much in the way of infrastructure planned, and they plan to, those new residents will be using the infrastructure in Manningtree, Missley and Lawford. So whilst I appreciate the suggestions by one of the speakers that we put all the housing over there as well, there's also that consideration to be made, and I urge Gary and his colleagues to keep those lines of communications open. Thank you.
Well, I think you make an excellent point there, because the village of Brantham, which is actually a very large village, their postal address is Manningtree. Their postcode is CO11, the same as Manningtree, and their postal county is Essex, even though they actually live in the administrative county of Suffolk. The potentially thousands of houses that are talked about there, those people are going to be looking to Manningtree for all their services, for their shopping, for their community, and that's going to put an impact on. So that does need, those are the kinds of things we need to consider.